If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. When Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, he said, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of the harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She's the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean it in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You've given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here. Have some bread and dip it into the wine vinegar." And when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she'd been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He's one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finished harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. As we come to this chapter on the book of Ruth, let's go to God in prayer. Father, once again, we look to you to take this story from 3,000 years ago to apply to ourselves. Lord, may we walk out of here knowing that we've been with you and that we've grown with you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As you probably remember, since things hadn't gone well in Moab, Naomi had moved back to Bethlehem. Ruth, her daughter-in-law from Moab, went along with her. During the past 10 years in Moab, Naomi's attitude towards life had changed drastically. She said at the end of the first chapter of Ruth, "Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter, because the Almighty God has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. When they returned, both Naomi and Ruth expected to live out their lives as poor, destitute widows, living off the gleanings, that is, the leftover grain from the fields of others. Ruth and Naomi had no idea that they were part of an eternal plan that will fulfill God's promise to Abraham that his seed would bring a blessing to the whole world. Through the whole story of Ruth, including this chapter, God's sovereign, God's invisible hand is seen. He had a plan for Naomi and for Ruth, which he would bring to completion. Ruth's story may have begun with the death of a husband and of a father-in-law, but if you read the whole story, you know it's going to end up with a birth. God cares for the downtrodden. James 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress." God's concern for widows, for aliens, is even seen in the Mosaic laws themselves. For example, in Deuteronomy 24, verse 19, God said, "When you are harvesting in your field and overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien, for the fatherless, for the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." Whenever they reaped a harvest, God's people were to consider the poor and leave the gleanings, the leftovers, for them. God gave the harvest. He has every right to tell the people how they should use it. Naomi may have felt empty because of her despair and her bitterness, but she really wasn't totally empty. She had Ruth. Ruth, who had vowed to stand beside her. Rather than being immobilized by her mother-in-law's despair, Ruth recognized that something needed to be done. They needed food. So soon after they got settled in, Ruth asked Naomi's permission to go to the field, pick up the leftover grain. Ruth was acting in faith based on God's commands in the law. She was an alien. She was poor. She was a widow. And so Ruth went gleaning. Before telling about Ruth's success or lack of success in the fields, the author introduced the hero of the story. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. That Boaz was a relative of Naomi's husband Elimelech will be an important factor later on in the story. Boaz was also a man of standing, that is, he was a wealthy man. Even his name was significant. Boaz means "in him is strength." Naomi may have been sitting around feeling sorry for herself as she contemplated the loss of her husband, her sons, the loss of all her earthly possessions. And as she thought, the bitterness probably grew. But Ruth determined to get grain so that they could have food to eat. So she politely requested Naomi's consent. I get the feeling that Naomi was wallowing in her misery as she replied with the words, "Go ahead." And so Ruth went out into the fields. The writer added an important phrase, "as it turned out." That is, it just happened that Ruth found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz. Actually, it was through God's direction, God's invisible hand, that Ruth just happened to come to this part of the field. It was no accident. From Ruth's viewpoint, it was just by chance. But in reality, her steps were guided by the Lord. As Abraham's servant said back in Genesis 24, verse 27, "As for me, the Lord has led me on my journey." There's really no such thing as luck or fate for a believer in God. When Ruth set out that morning to glean in the fields, she was looking for someone, anyone, who would allow her to pick over the leftover grain in the field. Basically, she was looking for someone who would show her favor or grace. Grace, favor, is bestowed on someone who doesn't deserve it and can't earn it. As a woman, as a poor widow, as an alien, Ruth had no claims on anyone. She was on the lowest rung of the social ladder. And as she was working in the field, who should just happen to show up from the city but Boaz, the owner of the field. The timing was perfect because it was God's timing. Once again, God's invisible hand is seen. The Lord had led Ruth to the field of Boaz, and then the Lord had led Boaz to visit the field while Ruth was still there. Boaz's fields were open to the poor as God has commanded, because even in this time of judges and the lack of following God, Boaz was a man of God who sought to obey God's will. This is seen in his greeting to his workers, "The Lord be with you," and the reply, "The Lord bless you." No sooner had Boaz greeted his workers than he noticed the presence of a stranger in the field. A lovely stranger at that. Having read the rest of the story, I kind of suspect that when he saw her, it was love at first sight. This little foreign girl by the name of Ruth, willing to accept poverty and ostracism and perpetual widowhood, is out in the field gleaning. By chance, really, by God's direction, she found herself working in one of Boaz's fields. And being one of the most acceptable bachelors in Bethlehem, he fell in love with her. And at that point, his focus changed from the harvest to Ruth. When asked, the foreman identified Ruth by her national origin and by her connection with Naomi. She's the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. He also volunteered some other information about her. She asked permission to glean behind the harvesters. And asking permission was not necessary. She's worked steadily from morning till now. She's taken only a short rest in the shelter. In other words, Ruth was a polite, hard-working young woman. Ruth chapter 2, verse 11 indicates that Boaz had already heard about her, this relative by marriage. Verse 11 says, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother, your homeland, and came to live with a people you did not even know." But now, Boaz was to meet her personally. Did you notice? Boaz took the initiative. After learning who the young woman was, Boaz could have gone along on his way. But instead, he turned to Ruth with the goal of helping her. Boaz spoke to Ruth. It was he who spoke first to her, for she would not have dared to speak to a man, especially one who was a stranger, and especially one who was the Lord of the field. As an alien, as a widow, she had no right to speak to a great man like Boaz. But he interrupted his conversation with his foreman to speak to this poor stranger gleaning in the field. Perhaps it was a turn of endearment. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But Boaz called Ruth my daughter. No matter what, Boaz is really saying he would treat her like part of his family. Undoubtedly, he knew his relationship with Elimelech. And with that in mind, he instructed his young men, those who were cutting the grain, to protect Ruth. The women who were tying the grain up in the sheaves were to work with her. Boaz told Ruth to walk with the servant girls who followed right after the reapers. That way she would be in front and Ruth would have the first choice of the best of grain. His workers were to allow her even to glean among them with the bundles they had already cut. He even told them to deliberately drop some of the harvest so she could pick it up. If she were hungry or thirsty, she could refresh herself with his workers. In fact, at noon, Boaz ate with her and personally shared his meal with her. Basically, Boaz promised to protect Ruth and to provide for her needs. Once again, God's hand can be seen in what was being done. Then we saw Ruth's response. Overwhelmed by Boaz's unexpected protection and generosity, she bowed down with her face to the ground. Ruth was humble and grateful. We might even say she was blown away by all the attention. Ruth recognized her own unworthiness and accepted Boaz's grace. She believed his promises. She rejoiced in them. There was no need for her to worry. The Lord of the field would take care of her and Naomi. Ruth fell at the at the feet of the master and submitted herself to him. She looked away from her poverty and focused on his riches. She forgot her fears and rested on his promises. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she'd gathered and amounted to about an ephah. That is about a week's worth of barley for two women. About four times as much as would be expected to be gleaned by someone in Ruth's position. When she finished, Ruth returned home to her mother-in-law with the grain, the leftover food from the lunch, and gave it to Naomi. Naomi was amazed, and she said, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Naomi recognized that some special favor had been shown Ruth. What Ruth had brought home was more than could be expected. Ruth told Naomi about her day and finished with the man's name. "The name of the man I worked with was Boaz." When Naomi saw the grain, she blessed the man who allowed Ruth to work in his field. And when she heard the name of the man was Boaz, Naomi blessed the Lord. Naomi's heart was changing. She had new hope, and the one who gave her that new hope was Boaz. The man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. With his concern for the poor and the needy, God had established a relationship called the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer is responsible for protecting the interests of needy members of the extended family. For example, to provide an heir for a brother who had died without children, to redeem land that a poor relative had sold outside of the family, to redeem a relative who had been sold into slavery, even to the point of avenging the killing of a relative. We don't have time to go look at all these different verses that talk about this. Let me just show you one. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25, begin verse 5. Deuteronomy 25, beginning of verse 5. The Mosaic Law, Deuteronomy 25, beginning of verse 5, it goes like this. If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. As a relative of Elimelech, Boaz was one of Naomi's and therefore Ruth's kinsmen redeemers. God has given him a task to do. As the chapter came to a close, Naomi cautioned Ruth to obey the commands of Boaz and to stay close to his servants as she gleaned in the field. The barley harvest occurred during March and April. The wheat harvest occurs during June and July. For those that are heavy duty into times, that's from Passover to Pentecost. And so Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. I gave all kinds of information. Let's see how you did this morning. Boaz goes gleaning. Boaz is the hero of the story. Ruth's steps were guided by the Lord. There's no such thing as luck or fate for believers. The time was perfect because it was God's timing. Boaz's response to Ruth, he took the initiative. He talked to Ruth. He promised to protect her and provide for her needs. Ruth responds to Boaz. She was humble and grateful. She accepted his grace. She believed his promises. And when Ruth returned home, Naomi was amazed by what Ruth brought home. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer protects the interests of the extended family. As well as seeing God's sovereign will being done in the lives of Naomi and Ruth, even early in the story of Boaz and Ruth, we can see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship to his bride, the church. Like Ruth, the lost sinners outside the family of God, destitute, with no claim on God's grace, on God's mercy. But like Boaz, God took the initiative. He provided a way for sinners to enter God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. When Boaz saw Ruth, he loved her. He made the first move. He took the initiative. In a similar manner, God made the first move to come to our aid. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." For that matter, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Romans 5, beginning in verse 6. Paul writes, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God took the initiative. In today's scripture, part of Boaz's first move was to speak to Ruth. In a similar manner, God speaks to us. Hebrews 1 says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers, to the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son." For that matter, turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, beginning in verse 1. Some rather familiar verses. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." That is Jesus Christ. "And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Now jump down to verse 10. "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human desire, decision, or of husband's will, but born of God." In spite of all that the world sinners has done in its rejection of God, he continues to speak of his grace. He offers his salvation to all who believe on his name. In Acts 2:21, Peter said, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." He's taking the initiative. Boaz recognized Ruth as part of his extended family and promised to protect her and provide for her needs if she would follow his commands. God has promised to protect and provide for those who come to him and are part of his family. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And God hasn't left us alone to wander by ourselves. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "Surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." The promises and the care of God for his children go on and on and on. Our response to the love, to the promises of God, should be that of Ruth to Boaz. We need to fall down before God in humility and in gratitude for all he has done and all he will do for us. We need to look away from our poverty and focus on God's riches. We need to forget our fears and rest on God's promises. He's coming back to take us to be with him. But until then, nothing, not war or persecution. Nothing can separate us from him and his love. Paul summed it up this way in Romans chapter 8. In fact, turn to the familiar verses. Turn to Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Perhaps this is how Ruth felt when she met Boaz and listened to Boaz's promises for her. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for each one of us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, Paul writes, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who have loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God, that is Christ Jesus, our Lord. As Ruth did before Boaz, we need to humbly submit to God, our Creator, our Redeemer. Trust in His promises and walk in His strength. Let's pray. Father, once again, it's easy to talk like that when you're with a bunch of Christians. But Lord, may you walk out these doors out into the world out there with all the temptations and all the pressures out there. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, not on all the things happening around us, not even on ourselves. But Lord, may we focus on you. May we remember your promises. May we walk with your strength.